peace is a thing of the past in my family right now, okay? Now that Gage is here, peace is all but gone, which is a great reason to look into this passage for us today. It's in Matthew 5, 9 to 12. And it says this: God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in this way. So this is the last of the Beatitudes, where Jesus calls us to live this upside-down life, this countercultural life. And when the people would have first heard it, it might not have seemed that extreme, really, to be called to be peacemakers. This happened in a time in the Roman Empire called Pax Romana. This is first century Rome. It's the idea of Roman peace. Rome was so big, so powerful, that everything would be great, and you wouldn't have to worry with wars or anything like that. And it was sort of true, kind of. If you were right in the middle of Rome, or if you're in Rome itself, things were great. If you're in the outskirts of Rome, you had to pay massive taxes so that everyone in the city of Rome could do great. Meanwhile, Rome was expanding their territory all throughout Europe, waging wars and doing that. And it wasn't really peace. It's kind of like a pretend peace. If you didn't really look at anything that was going around you, then you just stayed in your own little personal bubble, you could say, hey, yeah, this is actually pretty peaceful. But it's more just avoiding seeing the real problem. It's kind of like how when we pursue peace. You ever have, let's say, you know, the in-laws are coming for dinner, and you have the pep talk with your spouse before they come, and you say, okay, they're coming, so that means, you know, we can't bring up religion, politics, don't bring up Donald Trump, you know how that'll go, oh my goodness, don't talk about this person, that person, or this thing, because then they're going to go off on a thing, and we're going to have a fight like last Thanksgiving, and it's going to be awful, okay, so You get your pep talk with your spouse, and then they come for dinner, and you make sure you don't bring up anything, and you avoid all of the touchy topics, and you get through the dinner, and nobody fought, and it was great. Oh, and they leave. Oh, what a nice, peaceful dinner. Right? Not really. That's more just avoidance, stepping, no, don't want to step on the eggshells, don't disturb anything. And it's not actually peace. You're just avoiding the problem. And that's not the peace that Jesus is calling us to. He's like, don't just, you know, try to avoid problems and don't say anything that might bug anybody because everybody needs to be happy, okay? That's not the peace that Jesus is calling to. That's just a pretend peace, and he's calling us to this true peace. And I love how he words it. He says, blessed are those who work towards peace. Peace is work. You're not just going to stumble into peace. You have to put the hard work into it. Movie came out probably about 20 years ago. Anybody ever see Miss Congeniality? Anybody remember that one? Yeah. I don't even remember if it's a good movie, to be honest. It is? Okay, sure. All right. So I vaguely remember this from my childhood. I might even just butcher the plot. I don't even know. So the idea is there's this FBI agent, and she has this undercover mission. So she has to pretend to be this pageant girl person lady. I really don't know what they're called. Okay, so pageant person, she goes to the thing, and there they are, all the pageant girls in the Miss Whatever contest. And they get they get asked this question: what's the one thing that the world needs more of? And if you're in a pageant and you get asked that question, your answer should be? World peace, of course, that's the answer. So there they go, every, you know, pageant girl, they answer world peace, world peace, world peace. And it gets to Miss Congeniality, and they say, what's the one thing the world needs more of? And she is an FBI agent, so she says, harsher punishment for parole violators. And they say, what? That's amazing. Like, everyone's quiet, and she's like, and world peace. Yay, everyone's happy. I don't know. Maybe she wins the thing. I don't remember. So the thing, and it's nice to say world peace. Of course, that's the answer, right? That's fantastic, but it doesn't really mean anything if you're not willing to put the work into it. And we say world peace like that's achievable. We don't. You know, how many of us have a peaceful household, a peaceful marriage, peaceful relationship with our kids, our family, let alone world peace? We're not even close. So with this, we have, you know, these goals of world peace. Let's hope for that. We're quite a ways off. How do we work towards peace as Christ followers? A few things. As I was preparing for this, I kept on getting pulled back to my favorite passage of Scripture in Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit. List them off. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. What's next? Peace. There it is, right there. So, and what sets up the fruit of the Spirit is right before that in Galatians 5:16. It says this: let the Holy Spirit guide your life. If you let the Holy Spirit guide your life, you'll grow in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That sounds fantastic. That sounds fantastic. What does it mean to let the Holy Spirit guide our lives? How do we actually do that? Well, it elaborates a bit more after the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:24-26. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. We have desires sometimes to do things that destroy peace. You know, we have desire to gossip, slander, desire to win every argument that you get in. That's me. A desire to maybe bring up some of the wrongs that other people have made. And we do these things, and you can just ask Sarah, I do it all the time, do these things that don't bring peace into the situation. What works is to let the Holy Spirit guide our lives, and the only way to do that is to be a person devoted to prayer. The only way that the Spirit would guide your life is if you spend your time talking with him. So another one of my favorite verses is Philippians 4:6-7 says this. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Pray about everything. Start your day off in prayer. I used to be really, really zealous about prayer, and I would, the youth would gather and young adults would gather and say, oh, I'm having a tough time with my prayer life, and I said, just do it. Just wake up early and pray. Like I wake up at 5:30 in the morning. I spend an hour in prayer. Just do it. Come on. And now, the 4 weeks into being a dad, I'm finding it's harder to wake up at 5:30 in the morning and spend an hour in prayer. And I'm realizing maybe I shouldn't have been so hard on everybody, because now I'm hard on myself here. A couple tips that I've found out recently. When the coffee is brewing, you have 5 minutes to pray then. So use it, and you get a coffee at the end of it. It's like you get a reward. You did a good thing, and you get a cup of coffee. Hey, that's great. So that's a good one. You can pray in the shower, maybe another couple minutes there, and that's what we got. But do spend some time in prayer in the morning to let the Spirit guide your life. You know, you probably have an idea, a basic idea of what's going on, who you're going to be meeting with that day, what you're going to be doing, what some of the tasks are throughout that day, where you should be going, what you should be saying. Be praying that the Spirit would guide you through your day as you meet with those people, as you talk with those people, as you do all those things. Pray that he would guide you through that, and don't worry about anything. Worry is the enemy of peace, and it's worrying's like the cheap knockoff version that the world has for prayer. And I really don't get how, if you don't believe in God, like, because stuff happens that we worry about, And then if you don't have God to talk to, you just sit there and worry about the things. That sounds awful. Oh, I have all these terrible things going on. Darn. We as Christians, why would we ever do that? We have God to talk to. We can bring up all of those things that are going on, all of those worries to Him, and we can ask Him to guide us through our lives. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. It's way better. And as a dad, I'm learning all over this again. Any parents ever worry about their kids? Is that a thing? Okay. All right, more parents do that than the other thing I said that I did at the beginning. Okay, great. Fantastic. I'm with you on this one. Excellent. Okay. we worry about our kids. I had one parent who was of the kind of previous generation of parents to me, and they said, "Steve, it must just be so wonderful now being a parent in the age of the internet, because you can just Google everything and there's all the answers." And you know, back in my day, we had to figure it out. And I don't know if you know the internet that I know, but the internet that I know isn't helping me much. Okay, it's got like you can ask a question and then there's 1,000 different opinions, and everybody says that if you do it the other way, your baby's gonna get sick and die, and so listen to me. And it doesn't help with my worrying, okay? I had to thought it'd eventually be time to give the kid a bath. He probably should do it at some point. So we go online and I don't know like what temperature is the bath supposed to be. I got to figure this out. Oh, 37 degrees. Okay, thank you, internet. That's great. So 37 degrees. I go online and I get a rubber ducky thermometer because I don't know why not. Hello. Oh, not my baby. My baby's already gone because he was making too much noise. Okay. So go online and we get the rubber ducky thermometer. And I put that in the bath, and sure enough, rubber ducky says 37 degrees. Perfect. Okay, fantastic. So get my baby, pop him in the bath. He starts screaming and screaming and screaming. I think, oh no, I only spent like $4 on this thermometer. What if the thermometer's wrong? It came from some like factory in China, and oh no, and now my baby's too cold or he's too hot. He's going to die. Oh my goodness. We worry a lot. Oh, man, why am I worrying so much? We start to worry. We start to think of all the things that we can do to fix the problem, right? Maybe spend more than $4 on a thermometer, okay? Maybe that's what I got to do. Or maybe the kids are a bit older and they're getting into trouble. So you think, okay, they need to be in 5 different sports and all these different clubs so that they are too busy to stay out of trouble. Or finances are tight and we're in debt, so I need to pick up a second job and work 80 hours a week to do all this to fix all of the problems. And when we worry, we think about all the things that we can do to fix the problem. And when we pray, it puts everything into perspective. You know, the world doesn't rise and fall on our shoulders. We have a God who loves us, cares for us, and wants to bring peace into our situation. Peace that surpasses all understanding. So how do we work towards peace? You know, we let the Spirit guide us, pray about things instead of worrying about those things. We always try to work towards peace. That's plan A every time. Sometimes that's difficult. We work toward it. And I think if we do that, we generally will have more peaceful lives, right? We're going to have more peaceful relationships. If we are constantly in prayer, I think your relationships will get better. I think there'll be more peace between you and your coworkers and all that. But sometimes it might just not work. Sometimes you might pray a ton. And maybe there's a situation going on at work where things are getting heated and boss made this decision and everyone's picking sides and it seems like there's no way that peace is going to happen. And you try to talk to everybody and you pray and ask for guidance to bring peace in the situation. It just seems like no matter what you do, it's not coming. I've been there before. I've had relationships where I've really tried and I've prayed to bring peace into our relationship, and it just can't seem to happen. So what do we do there? Well, Jesus gave us some more wisdom in the rest of the passage. He didn't end the Beatitudes with "Blessed are those who work for peace." He gave us more in Matthew 5:10-12. It says this: "God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. So I have to mention, we can't take this verse out of context from the previous verse before. Some people love to say, oh, blessed are those who are persecuted, and they forget about the blessed are those who work towards peace. You know, we've probably all seen before, like, people holding up signs saying, like, you know, God hates you or you're going to hell or whatever, and they do that, and people get mad at them and maybe throw stuff at them, and then they'll just say, oh, well, God blesses those who are persecuted. That's, you know, it's just what's going to happen. Yeah, God blesses those who are persecuted. And if you're a jerk, then sometimes you get persecuted too. It's just the way it goes. Don't work towards being persecuted. Work towards peace. I've shared before some times when I was in New York doing ministry, and we had people from all over the world doing ministry with me, and there was a group of people who were pretty intense, and on their day off, they would take the subway, and they would just take the subway all around New York City, Manhattan, Bronx, Brooklyn, wherever, and they would just hop on the train, and they would start yelling the gospel at people, and I say yell instead of preach, because they were yelling it, they weren't preaching it, and most of the time, people would just be like, oh, okay, we got one of them, and get on their phone, but a lot of the time people would start yelling back at these people, and it would become this big fight thing, and they would try to kick them off the train, and then they would come back, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, God blesses those who are persecuted, that's just the way it is, and it seems like they were working towards being persecuted, and it really bugged me. We work towards peace. Work towards peace, and then if we work towards peace and we're still being persecuted, God blesses you in that. First, try make peace. I believe that's the thing that we can do, and I believe a lot of the time it's going to work. Sometimes it doesn't seem to. And maybe things with family member, spouse, workplace, and it just seems like you've been praying and praying for God to guide you. You've been working towards peace. You're doing everything you can, and it just seems like it can't happen. I want you to know that God is walking with you through all of that tough time, all of that persecution, and he's blessing you. But I do have to say, the passage is really, really confusing. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you. Does anybody else feel blessed when they're being mocked and persecuted? Like, it's not when I feel most blessed. How I think of blessing, like, if I'm, you know, you're scrolling on Facebook and then there's like nice family of four and there's a picture of them and they're in Disneyland and they have the Mickey Mouse ears and they just got off Splash Mountain and the sun's shining and then say, oh, it's a hashtag blessed. This is so great. God is good. He's blessed us with this nice trip to Disneyland. That's what blessing is, surely, right? I want that to be what blessing is. I love Disneyland. But it seems to be a little bit different here. Maybe the people on Facebook are wrong and Jesus is actually right and he has a bit of a better idea of what blessing is than they do. Maybe blessing isn't money and cars and nice things. Blessing is being inside of God's will for you, God's plan for you. You know, even if we look at the structure of the sentence, it's all present tense. It says God blesses those who are persecuted. He blesses us as we're being persecuted. He's not saying if you go through all these tough times, God will bless you at some point later. He's saying God blesses you as you're persecuted. That's true. But blessing and persecution can come at the same time. And it's being inside of God's plan for us. As we go through the Beatitudes, Jesus is calling us to this life that's different. He's calling calling us to live a life like him, calling us to humility, to love, to bring peace. And of course, there's going to be blessing for that because that's God's plan for us. You know, think of Jesus. Think of the people who followed this and tried to live like Jesus. God did amazing things in them and through their lives. And a lot of them also had a lot of persecution. God has a good plan for you, a blessed plan for you that's going to see you on great adventures through many great things. He's going to work through you in amazing ways as you learn to live more like him. But a lot of it is going to be tough as well. And then he says, you know, be happy, be very glad about it because a great reward awaits you in heaven. And as I got to that, the end of this, I had a really tough time. It says, be happy when you're being mocked and persecuted. Be glad about it. And I, you know, these are Jesus's words. So I looked at a time, or tried to find a time when Jesus was mocked and persecuted and see if he was happy and glad through it all. So I got to the end of the book of Matthew, and Jesus is arrested, he's beaten, hung up on a cross, a crown of thorns placed on his head, and people all around him are mocking him, saying, hey, if you're the Son of God, why don't you just come on down? You could do it, right? And everyone's ridiculing him, mocking him, and he's persecuted, and I was waiting for Jesus to follow his own advice and put a smile on and be happy and glad about it. And as you read that passage of scripture, you don't really see that. I don't see it. So what's going on here? Did Jesus forget to follow his own advice? Like, what's happening? Well, I think we misunderstand what he means here. I think it does a great disservice to people when we say, when they're going through persecution, when they're going through tough times, say, be glad about it, be happy about it, God is good, everything's going to be fine. I think our advice is something should be a little bit different. Look at Jesus when he was leading up to being mocked and persecuted. He spent a ton of time in prayer. Said, hey, God, I don't want to do this, but if this is what you have for me, I will. And he got those around him to pray. They ended up napping instead, but he tried. Let's spend some time in prayer about this. I want to make sure that this is God's plan here, that I'm going to have to go through this, if he has something good for this. As we are going through persecution, whatever it is, maybe people are mocking us, maybe there's no peace in the workplace, you're going through tough times, I don't know what it is. Devote yourself to prayer. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life through it all. He loves you. He wants to bring peace into the situation. And this is with all the Beatitudes here as we go through them. You know, it's not just this list of things that you need to do and need to follow and you should feel guilty if you're not doing them. Jesus is calling you to live a life more like him, full of peace, full of humility, full of love, all these good things. He has a great plan for us that he wants us to follow. He wants to fill our lives with peace. So as we close today, I just want to pray for that. I pray that we'd be a church that works towards peace. Pray for our relationships and all the scenarios that we may be struggling in. So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word that we have here in Matthew. Your sermon, the Beatitudes, to be peacemakers, God. So you call us to, and I pray that as we go out this week that we would strive towards peace, do everything we can to make that happen, God. I pray that we would be a church that would be guided by your Spirit. Pray that you would use your followers throughout the city to bring peace into this city and into this world, God. I pray for peace for marriages, for friendships, for relationships, for workplaces all over, God. All these things I pray in your name. Amen.